Today's show is brought to you by MyPillow, where there is currently a buy one, get one free sale going on. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code NOQ, or just call 800-862-0382. That's promo code NOQ, 1-800-862-0382, or MyPillow.com.
Are feeling like strangers in a strange land. Sadly, it's becoming more challenging every day to recognize our own country. Listening to the Midnight Sentinel will help us make sense of the craziness we're seeing and hearing about all around us. We need patriots and Christians who are willing to stand up for the values that made our nation great. Are you ready to be a sentinel? Here's J.D. Rucker.
Hopefully by now you're very familiar with the pandemic treaty that they are about to pass. This will give the World Health Organization unprecedented power. Power that goes above and beyond national sovereignty. This is being pushed by the Biden regime very quietly. You know, they're not talking about it. Nobody's talking about it outside of alternative media. You have many of us, you know, ringing the alarm bell, screaming as loud as we can, but even many in conservative media, especially corporate conservative media, haven't really touched on it. To me, this is the existential threat that we have been talking about for a long time. It's related to the Great Reset. It's related to the New World Order. It's related to the World Economic Forum. It's related to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, George Soros, all of them. It's related to the Chinese Communist Party. Some say there are connections to other organizations and other nations in the world that are bent on our destruction. So, with that said, I will be doing a brief overview of it today because I think there's still many, many people who would like to hear about it, and or who should hear about it and who haven't. But I want to state up front that two things. Number one, there is an extremely important aspect of this. The real threat behind the pandemic treaty has not been discussed by very many people, okay, at all. I'm talking about even amongst the alert and aware alternative media folks, the people that have been talking about it, have missed one extremely, I would say, the most important aspect, the most important danger, the most important threat regarding the pandemic treaty. And we'll be talking about that as much as possible today and probably going forward. Yeah, I've mentioned in the past that I want to talk more about the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, the New World Order, and all that stuff. And I have been sidetracked in recent weeks, actually the last week or so, I've been sidetracked a little bit by standard national politics, but I do want to get back into this because it is important. It's the most important thing, hands down. Okay, you can say, you can talk about the 2022 elections as being very important, and yeah, they're important, but nothing is as important as what we're about to do as a nation and as a planet by handing over far too much authority to people who are globalists, people who are pawns of the globalist elites. People who view us as one of three types of people, okay? They view us as either the necessary, compliant people, okay? The people who are still required to make the world run, and the people who are willing to comply with the demands of the New World Order, of the globalist elites. The second type of people are the, you know, I guess you could say the slaves. These are the people that are completely 100% beholden to government and will do whatever government tells them to do as long as it will help them to survive. And there will be millions, if not billions, of those people. And then the third classification are the people that they want dead. The people probably like you and me, who we will not comply, we will not become slaves, and therefore they want us to be gone completely. They want us to have absolutely nothing to do with them. And if they're going to control the world, that means that we can have nothing to do with this world. So our future in their eyes is to be gone completely, to die. And that's not hyperbole, folks. That's legitimate, okay? I was listening to a post. I need to do more research or else I would be talking about it today. I was listening to a video from a globalist leader. I'm not going to go into details about who yet until I do more research on the video that I saw. But basically, he was talking about the depopulation agenda in a way that was, you know, look, we got to ease into it. We've got to get people to accept the massive reduction in population, talking about getting down to 1 billion. Of course, that's much higher than what the Georgia Guidestones tell them to do, but we'll see. We'll see where it all lands. Anyway, I'll get to that in a future episode. Today, I want to focus on that most important part. And I said there was a second aspect that I need to cover. And that's the fact, I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but I want to make sure that everybody's aware, because I think most of you are not, that we've been covering this since long before pretty much anybody was talking about pandemic treaties or anything like that. I had did a wonderful interview with Dr. Peter Bragan back in February of this year, where you know he broke what he felt was breaking the bombshell. Now, I did find some, we didn't break it, okay? There were others who were talking about it. It was usually smaller sites, but still there were discussions about it. But Dr. Peter Bragan back in February of 2022 came on my show and he discussed what he had found regarding the pandemic treaty and really started to blow the whistle. And so I give major kudos to Dr. Peter Bragan and great appreciation for helping this show to be where essentially that information was broken to at least a whole bunch of people who watched the video. I think the video is up to approximately 150,000, 200,000 views. So that's good. So good. Kudos to Dr. Peter Bragan. Now, let's get into, I'm not big on you know, saving the important part to the end. I want to cut to the chase. All right. The part that most people are missing, those who are talking about the pandemic treaty, the part that they're missing the most is the climate change aspect of it. And the climate change aspect of it is the catch-all, okay? We can talk about it. Most who are talking about the pandemic treaty are very adamant about how destructive it will be if you give the World Health Organization and by proxy the World Economic Forum and the United Nations as well as the Chinese Communist Party and other nefarious forces, if you give them control over what happens to our healthcare, you know, over what we're able to do from a healthcare perspective, that is extraordinarily damaging. It is. You know, it is essentially signing over our sovereignty when it comes to health emergencies. That's important. I don't want to downplay that at all. But again, the part that everybody's missing is that simultaneously, while they are working towards getting the pandemic treaty signed, as Joe Biden and his handlers are pushing for this, as many in the globalist elites are pushing for this, simultaneously, they're also trying to make the very clear-cut case, and at least in their eyes, that climate change is a healthcare issue. That climate change is the real bad guy here. And because it pertains to people's life or death, that we must, as a world, address climate change from the perspective of healthcare. Which means that if they can accomplish both of these goals, getting the pandemic treaty signed by, 194 nations or whatever, and get the association of the climate change into being a healthcare issue under the control of this group, then they have supremacy. Then they have the beginning of their endgame. Because climate change is a true catch-all. In other words, they can claim climate change as the predicate for just about any action that they take. We're seeing food shortages right now, as you know, here in the United States and across the world. Now, obviously, we know this is due to supply chain, bird flu, the pandemic panic theater itself, slowing production, the war in Ukraine, stopping fertilizer. We're seeing food inflation skyrocket, and we're seeing food availability diminish greatly. And it's only going to get worse, folks, okay? I'll be talking about that in the next segment, why we believe that meat in particular is something that everybody needs to pay very close attention to. But this food shortage, it's going to be blamed on climate change. When everything is said and done, they're going to pull a full-blown 1984 Ministry of Truth And they might say, yeah, all of those things contributed. Sure, you know, this, that, or the other. Yeah, Ukraine. Yeah, pandemic. Yeah, this. Yeah, that. But at the end of the day, it was climate change. That's what they're going to say. They're going to tack that on. And therefore, they will be able to, with the combination of the climate change attachment to the healthcare issue and the signing of the pandemic treaty, they will be able to take control of food across the world. Now, lest we forget, the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, and others have openly come out and said, look, we don't see meat as sustainable. Meat is bad for the climate, okay? Meat is, it's risky, there's disease. You know, people need to just stop eating meat. We can make meat, okay? It's not really meat, but we can make a variation of meat, and you're going to love it. And, you know, and plus we have an abundance of bugs everywhere. You know, we can use, bug protein is so good for you, folks. Oh my gosh, you will never want to have a burger again once you try a cricket sandwich. Mmm, yummy. Love it. I laugh because that's how I can prevent myself from crying over how bad the outlook is. But it's not just food. Okay, climate change encompasses everything. Obviously, travel has a major impact on climate. And if you sign away our sovereignty over such things, such as travel, suddenly, the way that we're able to travel, and even if we are able to travel, becomes determined by powers that be, again, the powers that want us to fall within one of three categories. We're either compliant, dependent, or dead. And that's where they want us. And they will be able to use travel in this regard. And if you think, oh my gosh, you know, that's already a lot. There couldn't be more. No. There's definitely much more. We already have Joe Biden out there saying that, you know, he's going to have the military, turn the military green. His handlers, his controllers, his puppet masters are laying the groundwork for establishing that military is one of the greatest threats to the climate. And therefore, militaries need to be controlled by the World Health Organization. Now, if you think that I'm going way above and beyond what's even possible, then wake up, okay? I'll admit, I needed to be woken up. Okay, there was a time not very long ago, we're talking like 3 years ago, where conspiracy theories just weren't my thing. Then I started realizing, oh my gosh, they really did just lock down the entire nation and destroy our economy for the sake of a disease that has a 99.993% recovery rate for people under the age of 40. If they can pull that off, they can do just about anything. Holy cow, they did just literally steal a United States presidential election. It's clear, it's unambiguous, it's a 99% certainty that it happened. And this, I believe, long before 2000 Mules came out. A wonderful documentary by Dinesh D'Souza and True the Vote. Even before then, the evidence was crystal clear. I know there's a lot of people out there, especially, you know, there's a lot of conservatives, quote-unquote conservatives and quote-unquote Republicans and whatever, who are denying this. They are either trying to save their own hides for the sake of their reputation because they denounced voter fraud for so long, or they're trying to save their own hides by hiding the fact that they were involved. So no. You can't sit here and tell me that it's impossible for the World Health Organization through the pandemic treaty to be used to take over militaries. That doesn't make any sense. Folks, if you say to yourself, no, that doesn't make any sense, I want you to stop and tell me. Seriously, stop and tell me. What has made sense over the last 2 or 3 years? I'll wait. Go ahead. Tell me. I mean, because nothing has. None of this makes sense. And you know it. You know that left is right, that up is down, that light is dark and good is evil. That's the narrative that they're pushing. This is why they say men are women, and men should compete with women in sports if they think they're women, or if they at least pretend to think they're women, then they should be able to compete with women in sports. And children who haven't even gone through puberty, oh, no. They should be able to be fully informed, which you can translate into indoctrinated or brainwashed. They should be fully informed as young as, well, as soon as they can start talking. They should be start to be told about gender and let's end all gender norms. End gender norms. Okay, let's deny the science. Let's you know, it's all about the feelings. There are probably 70, 80, 90% of people that are actually transgender, and they just don't know it yet, especially children. You know, just let us talk to the children for a semester, for a quarter, for a month, for a few days. Oh, we'll get them. We'll make sure to find their inner transgender. So you tell me, what does make sense? If you think that I'm going way overboard by saying that the pandemic treaty is going to take control of our food, our travel, our military, plus dozens of other things under the all-encompassing umbrella of climate change, if you think that I'm loony, then you're not paying any attention to the world. Because right now the world is loony. They have a very limited time frame, folks. Okay, if we are, as many people contend, if we are in the biblical end times, then that means that they don't have much time. They know it. The Bible even says they know they don't have much time, which is why they're rushing through. They're trying to catch us off guard, and if you might think, well, we're not off guard. Look around you. I'm not talking about the world events. Look at the people around you. Are they caught off guard? Are they caring? I mean, how many people are talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? I couldn't believe it when I saw so many people. It's like, folks, this is a civil suit between two Hollywood people. I mean, this is ridiculous. How is so much attention being paid to this stuff? I realized, and I was told by somebody I trust, that a lot of it is just a release because we've been bombarded with so much serious, you know, real-world bad news that having this, being able to gawk at a couple of weird celebrities for however long, that it's kind of like, okay, cool. So you know, we might have it bad, but at least we never married Amber Heard. That's what I was told. Yeah, I haven't watched a single minute of the trial hearing. I don't even know what it is. I don't care about that. I care about spreading the gospel. I care about spreading the truth. And I care about making sure people are aware that this pandemic treaty, as bad as it sounds on the surface, is actually exponentially worse than that. We've got to wake up. I'm going to be talking about this again tomorrow because this is a topic that I just can't let go of. I had already planned on talking about a couple more very important and time-sensitive topics today. So unfortunately, it's just this first segment that I'm going to be talking about the pandemic treaty. But don't you worry, folks. I will be talking about it much, much more. Because this is, like I said, this is the precursor for the Great Reset. This is a requirement for the Great Reset. And it seems to be steamrolling forward in ways that we cannot stop it. Stay tuned tomorrow, and we will be discussing ways that hopefully we can try to stop it, because, you know, this is not one of those things where you just like, it's bound to happen, let's just let it go. No, you fight this all the way through. After the break, I'll be sharing some good news as well as some bad news, but that seems to be what I do every day, so stay tuned.
Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, Our Gold Guide IRA is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.
Today is a rather odd and inexplicable day for me because it's going to be the first time, well, I think ever, that I'm actually going to partially, very partially, agree with Joe Biden, or at least whoever's handling his Twitter account and whoever is is out there handling him, his handlers, telling him what to do, what to say, what to sign, all that good stuff. Let me tell you the part that I agree with. He tweeted recently, only four big companies control more than half the meat market, and they can use their position to overcharge. Okay, so I agree with the first half. That is correct. There are four big companies that control more than half the meat market. Okay? As far as using their position to overcharge, that's not how it works, folks. And this sure seems like a preemptive move or preemptive statement to start getting into price controls and to start blaming the upcoming massive increases in meat prices that we are anticipating and that he is apparently already knows is going to happen. He says, that's why I signed an executive order on competition to level the playing field. They love saying that. To level the playing field and why we're helping smaller meat processors, giving folks options and better prices. Okay, so number one, no, that does not necessarily give them better prices. It does make it to where the smaller producers can charge approximately what the bigger producers are charging. One of the things, and this is the part where I disagree with what he's saying, you know, he says that they can use their position to overcharge. It's actually the exact opposite. Okay, there's a reason why the big producers can sell for so cheap, because they're big, because they have volume. They can do the volume discounts. They can get better deals to collect the meat, better deals to process the meat. That's the advantage of size, is that from a consumer perspective, it does, mass production works better than manual production. It just makes things cheaper. That's why we buy so much stuff from China. It's not just because their quality is so much lower than pretty much everywhere else in the world, which it is. It is so much lower, but that's not the only reason. It's because they have mastered the art of mass production. They do it very poorly, but they're able to put out the numbers. That's why Chinese products are so cheap. So no, Biden's wrong. They're overcharging you. No, you're preempting the horrible economic situation that he is creating. That's what he's doing. He's just saying, oh, you know, meat prices are going to go up. Blame those guys, those four big, bad, evil companies. We're going to send Elizabeth Warren over there to scold them. We're going to send Bernie Sanders over there to do nothing but complain. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. But he's trying to get ahead of what they know. This isn't just anticipating as a possibility. They know that meat prices are going to rise dramatically. They know that, and it's not because of these four companies. It's because of a multitude of reasons. Number one, we have, of course, the Russia-Ukraine war, which does affect fertilizer, and that affects grains. They also export grains. You might think, but grains aren't meat. Oh, no, they're not. But what do animals who eventually become meat, animals like cows and chickens, what do they eat? They eat grains. As a matter of fact, they eat a ton of grains. Tons and tons and tons of tons. They eat so much grains that they actually end up, I believe they actually end up eating more grains than humans in America. The pigs and cows, the chickens, turkeys, all that stuff. Feed is the single biggest source of, or not source, but the single biggest use for certain grains. So when those grains are depleted, that means that it's more expensive to feed the livestock, to feed the animals that will eventually become meat, or at least that used to eventually become meat. We don't know what's going to happen in the very near future. Number two, bird flu. Bird flu is affecting millions, tens of millions of birds, chickens and turkeys. That's raising prices. This is why eggs, you know, are the big four meat producers, are they the ones that are driving up egg prices by 141%? No. It's the lack of chickens. Folks, we're experiencing this perfect storm. This is why I am 99% certain that it is all manufactured, that they are driving this upcoming food crisis intentionally. You know, we've been trying to get ahead of it. This is going to sound like shameless self-promotion, shameless pitch, but I got to tell you about it. We launched a meat, freeze-dried meat company. Yay! It's small. It's tiny. Okay? But it's good. It's organic products. All organic. It's all local. We're down in Texas. I'm not, but the guys that are going to be actually cooking and freeze drying the chickens are down in in Texas. Jason Nelson and his team. Jason is a Army veteran, retired. He is a chef, culinary expert. Went to culinary school. He understands this scenario in and out, and we have made arrangements to get a proper facility. We're working with local farmers who have organic chickens. They're going to skin them for us. They're gonna debone them, all that good stuff. We're gonna take the meat, roast it, and freeze dry it. Put it in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for long term storage, and people can then order organic roasted freeze dried chicken from us. You can get it over at PrepperOrganics.com. Like I said, it was a shameless plug, but it's a necessary one. Because we didn't just randomly. It's not like I woke up one day and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to open up a meat company, an organic freeze-dried food company. No, it's not my lifelong dream. It's something that we're doing simply because this is what is needed right now. We've been seeing the writing on the wall for a long time. That writing has been pointing to food shortages, and especially meat shortages. This is why we have been working on this for a long time, taking steps to prepare for this very moment, and that moment is coming. We might be late. I hate to say it. We might be coming in late on this. As fast as we were able to put it all together, I really wish we could have done this by last year, because that would have been a good time to start selling freeze-dried meat. We would be able to sell it for cheaper. Now prices are going up. They're going to go up even higher. It's not like they're going to go down anytime soon. So best to get your bag. 5 pounds of chicken freeze-dries down to a single pound of freeze-dried meat. That's 19 servings in a single pound. Now you reconstitute it, and it's not like dehydrated meat. This is freeze-dried meat, so it maintains its structure and form. It just doesn't have any water. Maintains its nutritional value. And it's very easy to constitute. Do not confuse dehydrated meats, like jerky, with freeze-dried meats, which freeze-dried meats can be used to essentially make regular dishes, especially if either the economic collapse comes, the meat crisis comes, societal collapse, crap hits the fan, whatever we have coming forward, we know it's going to be something. Whatever that is, we'll be prepared by having lots and lots of freeze-dried chicken. Eventually, we'll do freeze-dried beef, I'm sure. We'll look into freeze-dried fruits and vegetables. But right now, chicken was the primary goal because we anticipate that's going to be the first thing that's going to become cost prohibitive for most Americans to be able to get a hold of. Feel bad now, you should, for Wingstop and all those guys, because they're going to have a hard time here within a year or two, I would suspect. But I digress. So Biden is warning about this. It's funny because there is actually a bill out there, a bill that has been available for a while. And Representative Congressman, I should say, Thomas Massie from Kentucky, he retweeted the president, the installed president, and said, "Pass the Prime Act, a bipartisan bicameral bill that I first introduced 7 years ago to solve this problem. The big four meat processors established market dominance with the help of the USDA via overregulation of smaller processors. Until this is fixed, their monopoly will thrive." And he is absolutely correct. Listen, it's funny because for the last century or so, we as a nation have been pushing for more restrictions and more restrictions in the meat processing industry, simply because there's this great fear. Meat can be dangerous if it's mishandled. Meat can be poisonous. Meat can harm people. And the quality of meat should be regulated to some extent. But what we've done is we've taken the amount of regulation and oversight that there should be of meat, and we've multiplied it 20-fold. There's literally, for every one decent, appropriate regulation for the sake of American health, there are 19 others that have no purpose, that have no actual, there's probably some incident in Chicago in 1987 that prompted this legislation that's been on the books for the past 30 years, okay? That's an example. I don't know what legislation that is, I just know that they exist. You can pick any random year and pick a random event, and there's probably legislation that was prompted by that random event. That's just, we're responsive. That's what we do. politicians, especially legislators, they like to take the cause of the moment and address it because it makes them look like, oh, look, we're responding. You know, I mean, you take the baby formula issue right now. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, this is just plain dumb that we're experiencing this. But you have some congressman was like, okay, this is an emergency situation. We're going to go after it. We're going to get this fixed. We have to act on this immediately. So they scheduled a hearing for 2 weeks from now. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. That happened. Speaking of, you know, it's funny because in the earlier segment, I said I'm not going to talk about the baby formula crisis because everybody else is talking about it. But one thing, yeah, my wife had told me, she said, there's one thing that people aren't really going into the various causes of this. We know that it's manufactured. We do. Okay, even the baby, that's how evil the powers that be are, the New World Order, the globalist elites, this is how evil they are. They're going after our kids. They're going after formula. Okay? That's, I mean, utterly despicable, but it is what it is. We have to address that. But what people aren't doing, very few people, I should say, not everybody, but very few people are actually talking about are some of these actual causes. What is making this happen? And as my wife had very astutely noted, a lot of this comes back to Abbott. And I know Abbott is a big company and they've got some other facilities and this, that, or the other. But what they've been forced to do is very annoying, okay? And it's, you've got the heart. Well, let me just give you the background real quick. I should probably, not everybody's going to know what I'm talking about, especially if you're listening to corporate media. Pardon me, because they're not talking about it much, but let's look at this. So let me see. Sorry, Googling it real quick just so I have accurate information. I've already got the information, but I don't. I like to read it straight from sources rather than just spewing forth what I know or think I know. Sometimes you never know what you don't know, and that's knowing that I don't know what I don't know, I think makes me pretty smart, right? I don't know. I don't get it either. I'm confused. Let's see. Gosh, there's really no good source. Everybody, the only people talking about this are corporate media, and I just don't trust them. All right, let's just try The Guardian. Yeah, sorry. Ugh, whatever. Okay, Abbott. And by the way, Abbott is the baby formula company that is at least partially responsible. Not, I shouldn't say responsible, but it was an incident that occurred to them at the worst possible time that prompted them to do a voluntary recall. So let's get into the details, though. Real quick, Abbott says two months for baby formula to hit shelves amid U.S. shortage. U.S. manufacturer forced to close Michigan plant after reports of illness and death that prompted federal investigations. So, you know what? I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to tell you what happened. So there were four complaints about, you know, babies getting sick, and two babies died as a result of, and the claims were that it was through Abbott baby formula, okay? Abbott Laboratories. So they did a voluntary recall. They pulled them all. They went through, and they're going through a bunch of steps. I mean, just completely sanitizing, redoing the floors, doing everything they can in their Michigan facilities to try to, because, and nobody wants babies to die, but here's the sad part, and this is the part that I don't even know if it's going to be in this article, but it's buried in some articles that I've read on this. After the investigation, they don't think that there was anything, that it was the baby formula. In other words, where'd it go? In all four cases, who said this? This is from Abbott. In all four cases, the state, the FDA, and or CDC tested samples of the Abbott formula that was used by the child. Okay, there are four children, two died. Four children got sick, two died. In all four cases, all unopened containers tested negative for this, whatever, bacterial infection that ended up killing two and making at least two others sick. So it appears that whatever it was may have been tied to this, but the initial investigation appears to point to the fact that it wasn't. So this is when I get into that tinfoil hat mode, okay? You know, it's so easy to manipulate a system, especially here in the United States, because we react, because we're fast, Because we jump. Okay, we as a nation, we jump. You know, there were reports of sickness. Two babies died. Yeah, they pulled every last one of their products off the shelves and they shut down the facilities to make more until they could get to the bottom of this. That's our strength. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. That's a good thing. Two babies died? Yeah, figure it out before you send out something that could kill somebody else's baby. Okay? But here's the thing, and this is important to note, that the powers that be, they know this strength of ours, and they know how to make it a weakness. Did they? Did they fake, and I shouldn't say fake, but did they? I hate talking about babies' deaths in a conspiratorial manner. I think you get what I'm saying. You know, did they manufacture this crisis by getting Abbott to do what they did? You know, falsely. I'm not saying Abbott's involved. I'm saying that maybe these evil forces, these forces of Satan, went so far as to make four babies sick and kill two of them just so they could try to exacerbate our current economic and food problems and go after the most vulnerable of us all, children, babies. I wouldn't hold that past them, and that's the sad state of the world, that I don't see that as so despicable that these neo-Marxist globalist elites wouldn't consider doing it and wouldn't even undertake that. They don't care who lives or dies. All they have is their goals. They just have their end goals. And that doesn't include us. Doesn't include us. After the break, we've got some more great news. Stay tuned.
Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
If your worldview is anything like mine, and you are against globalism, then you will also probably be aware that the Davos conference get-together of the globalist elites put on by the World Economic Forum every year is the epicenter of pretty much everything bad that happens in the world. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. This is where the plans are made, and we get to see a little bit of it, very little, of course. We get to hear tidbits, but for the most part, everything's happening behind closed doors. This is where business leaders, world leaders, and people of interest, people of note, are able to get together and come together with their evil plans. Now, to say, oh, well, if you go to Davos, that means you're evil, that's not true. Okay, I want to be clear about that. A lot of times people will say, oh, you know, he attended Davos, therefore he's evil. That's not the case, okay? There's a combination of things that happens here. Part one, of course, is the planning aspect of it. What are we going to do as evil globalist elites to either subjugate or kill the masses? They want you either controlled or dead. That's their goal, okay? This is the entire premise behind the Great Reset. They won't say that part out loud. They'll say, oh, no, you're going to be happy. You're going to love it. You'll own nothing, and you'll be ecstatic by that. That's the storyline, but in reality, they don't really care. They know that there's too many people in the world. That's their perspective, that there's just too many people in the world, and most of them are just useless eaters, so we've got to kill a lot of people or let them die, I guess is the better way to put it, and the rest of them will be under our control, and then we can live in utopia, the globalist elite utopia. That's part one. But part two of their their reason for having this meeting every year is to try to test out and recruit people, as well as to persuade them to back their plans. Not everybody that goes to Davos is inherently evil, okay? I want to be clear about that. Sometimes people will go there, and the entire intent, at least from the globalist perspective, is to feel them out, see where they stand, maybe coax them in one direction or the other. They can't completely control everybody. If they did, then we would already be either dead or controlled, okay? So they still need to depend on world leaders, depend on business leaders, and that's why a lot of times they bring them. It's reminiscent of, there was back in the college days, I was in a fraternity, and one of the, it was probably my first party that I'd ever gone to there, and I brought in a friend who I'd gone to high school with, and I said, hey, I brought in one of the senior members of the fraternity to meet him. I was like, hey, what can you tell Brandon, as the guy that I'd introduced him to, what can you tell Brandon? this is a different Brandon. What can you tell him to convince him to join our fraternity? And the senior member took Brandon by the shoulders, and he said, hey, you know what? Why don't you just go mingle? Just go have some fun. Go to the bar, go have some fun. He pulled me aside and he said, look, our goal here, we're not making a pitch during these parties. The whole idea is to just get people to see what the environment is like, what the culture here is like, and to either picture themselves as being part of this group, part of this club, part of this fraternity, or not. And, if they like it, they'll come to the next party, and then we can, maybe start talking to them more about stuff. But we can't just dive straight into, here are our plans, here's what we're going to do. And that's pretty much what happens at Davos. It's like a big globalist fraternity party. That's why you have certain people who aren't globalists, who are, nationalists for their country. People like Donald Trump, even. People who will go there and... the intention isn't because they're participating in the evil plans. They're not behind the closed doors meetings with Bill Gates and Barack Obama and Klaus Schwab and George Soros and anybody else. They're actually having their own little discussions. They're being coaxed. They're being groomed, if you will. They're trying to feel them out, see where they stand. And that's why a lot of times you'll see a lot of these people that'll go there and never come back. They don't get an invite. How'd you do with Donald? Well, he seems kind of really stuck on that whole nationalism thing. I don't know what we can do with him. It's like, okay, we won't invite him next year. And that's it. All of that is the setup for a big story that actually broke yesterday or recently. But I'm getting to it today. It's the title of this particular article that I'm posting up on Knock Report and jdrucker.com, my new site, as well as some others, is The Beginning of the End, Why Volodymyr Zelensky's Upcoming Virtual Appearance at Davos is a Bigger Deal Than Most Realize. And it's... I should probably give you guys the background. So let me cut straight to the Breitbart article. Okay, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky will address the Globalist Forum of Elites in Davos, Switzerland, later this month. The World Economic Forum announced on Friday. The annual meeting of business elites and government leaders will once again take place in the Swiss ski resort of Davos later this month after being held virtually during the prior 2 years during the Chinese coronavirus crisis. On Friday, the Klaus Schwab-led group announced the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, will join our annual meeting virtually as the war continues to devastate his country. The meeting, which will run from May 22nd to May 26th, will feature globalist heavyweights such as European Commission and President... obviously, there's going to be a lot of powerful people there. Let's skip ahead. Mostly because I can't pronounce all these names, if I'm being... there's one. John Kerry, I can pronounce that one. Excellent. All right. Since the full invasion of Ukraine in February by Russian forces, Zelensky has become a staple in Western media and has frequently appeared via video link in parliaments and Congress around the world, including the British, Canadian, and German parliaments and the Congress of the United States. Comedian-turned-president previously addressed the World Economic Forum in January of 2020 and has a biography page on the WEF's website dedicated to him. Now, I want to be clear. So this is why this is so important that he's actually going to be attending this one virtually. He didn't attend. Okay, he didn't attend in 2021. This is before, of course, the war. There was no reason for him not to attend. But I believe if you were to watch, and I'm not going to play it all here, you'll have to look it up yourself, look up his speech at Davos in 2020. It is very revealing. Klaus Schwab introduces him after this extraordinarily globalist speech by Volodymyr Zelensky, talking about climate change, but more importantly, talking about the need for global responses to all of our problems. And again, keeping in mind that this is just prior to the pandemic. And the pandemic had been launched, but it wasn't a central point in that particular Davos meeting. This time, it was. You know, what we're seeing now, obviously, they're focused on it. But he did his speech, and it was, frankly, it was very good. I mean, if I was a globalist, I'd be like, wow, this guy's a rising star. I remember the last time I thought about that, thought that about someone, was in 2004, during the Democrat National Convention, when I saw a young senator named Barack Obama go up on stage, and he killed it. I mean, he absolutely killed it. I mean, again, I'm not a Democrat, obviously, but I'm saying from the Democrats' perspective, and I said to myself, this is back in 2004, I said, man, they are getting this guy ready to be the leader. They want him to be president, and rightfully so. Not, again, from their perspective, rightfully so, because he really did deliver an absolutely stunning speech for such a young, fresh-faced senator. Sorry, I was about to say congressman. Senator. For such a young, fresh-faced senator, he really killed it during his speech. That was the last time that I thought that about somebody, you know, somebody up and coming who delivered such a good speech that I thought, man, they're going to be positioned, you know, promoted, groomed to be the top dog. And when I saw Zelensky's speech during the 2020 Davos, I thought pretty much the same thing. And Klaus Schwab reacted. He started asking questions afterwards. You could tell. I mean, he was infatuated with him. He really thought, wow, this guy really killed it. And he did. Now, fast forward, and this is where we get to the conspiratorial part. So go ahead and go grab your tinfoil hat if you need one. If you haven't been normalized to my conspiracies, you'll probably want to shield yourself at least a little bit, because it's going to get pretty heavy here soon. This year's push, this year's Davos, is specifically out in the open about advancing the Great Reset. Okay, that's not a conspiracy theory in itself. That's what they're saying. Okay, they want to advance the Great Reset, and they want to do it very quickly. And to do that, they need to, number one, destroy capitalism. Now they say they're trying to convert capitalism, trying to bring it more towards stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder capitalism, which is neo-Marxism. Just with the, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they say democratic socialist. That's not really a thing. They made it a thing because that's basically, it normalizes and makes socialism sound better. The same thing can be said about stakeholder capitalism. That is socialism. It's where you take a company, you divvy it up between the employees. They technically own it, except they don't really own anything. You know, their share is not anything other than symbolic. It's not like they're running the company per se. They still have to. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about that either, because that's a long discussion. It's not that I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to use my time here today to talk about that. We'll table that one, and I'll explain stakeholder capitalism as the World Economic Forum sees it in the future. And I had a very ugly discussion with Klaus Schwab's number two guy. DMs back and forth. It was pretty ugly. I mean, it wasn't pretty ugly. It was very ugly. It's something that let's just say that I learned very quickly that if somebody deletes a chat, a DM chat in, or a DM thread in Twitter, that it deletes it on your end as well. I didn't know that, so I didn't take screenshots like a dummy. I should have, but anyway. So that's number two. And then number three, they want to be able to accomplish their goals, they need to end Western supremacy. You know, with the Western culture led by the United States, that includes the, you know, NATO and the European Union, includes Australia, you know, the Western nations. The World Economic Forum needs that supremacy to be ended. This is one of the reasons why. I know they come out and they say, oh, we're against Russia, we're against China, we don't like this, we don't like that. It's all subterfuge, folks. It's smokescreen. It's putting on a happy face for the sake of still being able to maintain control over many of the Western leaders. Because the Western leaders, who aren't, you know, privy to the long-term plans, they do want to see China and Russia viewed as the enemy and them as the superheroes. This is one of the reasons why they are doing such a fine job of pushing these these sanctions on Russia, despite the fact that the sanctions are hurting us much more than they're hurting them. The ruble has gained 11 points against the dollar since the war began. I don't think that's what they were intending to happen, right? I don't think that was supposed to be the goal here. You know, we're experiencing harsher food shortages than they are. They have control of this. They egged us on into these sanctions. The World Economic Forum pushed the sanctions. Joe Biden and his cronies pushed the sanctions. And now all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, the sanctions, not only are they not working, they're not ending this war at all, not even coming close to ending this war, they're actually doing more damage to the Western nations that are sanctioning them than they are doing to Russia itself. And yes, I know the Russian people are hurting as a result, but lest we forget, when you're dealing with totalitarian regimes such as Vladimir Putin's, such as Xi Jinping's, they don't look at it as, what about the suffering of the people? They know they have control. And so they have more flexibility to allow more suffering among their people without fear of repercussion. Now, unlike here, you know, when the suffering is already getting started here in the United States and people are ready to boot Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Democrats out of Capitol Hill, and rightfully so. And that, at least that second part on Capitol Hill, that is almost certainly going to happen in November, but I digress. So, those are the goals. Push the Great Reset. End capitalism as we know it, replace it with stakeholder capitalism, which is not capitalism, and end supremacy of Western society over the world. That's what they're going to be talking about. This is a very big, you know, Davos is a big event every year. This one is huge. This one is, to me, like I said in the title, this is the beginning of the end. If they are able to achieve their goals, we will look back to May of 2022 as the catalyst, the starting point. And this is where Zelensky comes in. I believe that he is being positioned to become essentially the leader of the movement, not the leader of the World Economic Forum, not the leader of the New World Order. He's still going to be essentially a puppet, but he's going to be a very powerful puppet. He will be, in my opinion, he will help to bring about a peace agreement with Russia. And from there, he will be vaulted into sainthood, even more so than he has already. I mean, as of now, Western media absolutely adores him. He can do no wrong to Western media. If you say he does anything wrong, they pounce on you. And as a matter of fact, it's not just Western media. Yeah, I would say, and it's not even just the left. I get attacked every day by certain quote-unquote conservatives who are like, oh my gosh, you Putin apologist, you. You know, as I've always said many times, I do not like Vladimir Putin. I never have. I've always considered him to be our enemy. I do not like Russia. I never have. I've considered them to be our enemy even when a lot of people were softening on them. Okay? When a lot of people were like, oh, you know, Russia's not so bad. I was still thinking back to the Soviet era. I still consider them. I've never stopped considering my entire life. I've considered Russia to be our enemy from when they were the Soviet Union to when they were just Russia. I've always thought that Russia is our great threat. The great threat to this nation. Greater than China, even though today I would say they're probably co-equal. They're partners in being the greatest threat to the United States of America. So this Davos meeting is an important one. And we will be watching Vladimir Zelensky's ascension from being president of Ukraine to the opening volley in his ascension to being essentially the leader of this globalist movement, the face of the globalist movement. And I'm talking bigger than just like Greta Thunberg being the face of climate change hysteria. I'm talking about Zelensky will actually be truly legitimately elevated in not just the eyes, but also in power. He will be given much, much control over a lot of things. And he will be the puppet, but the very powerful puppet, the guy that they trot out across the globe, represents freedom, democracy, represents the people, represents everything that's supposed to be good in this world. That's going to be Vladimir Zelensky. He's going to be this great world leader that history's supposed to look back and say, oh my gosh, we were lucky to have even had a moment to see him on television. Yes, that's what this Davos is about, and that's why it's so important that he is in attendance and a centerpiece of all of this. Vladimir Zelensky is the face of the Great Reset, and that will be established, in my humble opinion. Again, I don't have facts, I'm just going, you know, reading the tea leaves, in my humble opinion, that happens this month. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you all stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.
If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom. Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, Our Gold Guide IRA is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.